Sam Ackerman is our sports commentator. He is in Tauranga, in New Zealand's sporting capital. Welcome, Sam.
Yes, a very good morning, and I hope you've been enjoying the Olympics, Catherine. It's been the smorgasbord that we expected. I'm still finding it kind of spoilt for choice and hard to keep your eyes on the prize and not get distracted or go down a wormhole of suddenly I found myself, you know, at midnight watching fencing and yelling abuse at the Italian for using cheap tactics. It's like, how did I get so committed to this?
I struggle with the fencing. I still can't even see when I can't even really see what's going on. I can see people lunging. You only get the point if you're the one who instigates the lunge, right?
You need to get there first. The electronic. I mean, I can't imagine how they did this before.
But you only get the point if you're the one who's done the lunge. Even if you touch the other dude or dudes first. This is the joy of it. This is like when I got addicted to darts when I had insomnia on holiday a few years ago and was watching at 3 a.m. Suddenly you just find yourself completely engrossed in a rather different, you know, sport.
Yeah. And it's great to get away from the meat and two veg we go with and going for that smorgasbord and finding new flavours, new tastes of things that you won't necessarily watch forever going forward. But it's as I say, you're not just watching rugby racing and nothing else as was the olden days of your offerings in this country. So it's cool.
I'm looking forward to the rock climbing. I don't know if they're doing any of it on free-to-air because I don't have Sky, or is it not started yet? I know it's a bit of controversy.
I haven't seen any of it. I can tell you that that my better half would have gravitated towards checking something like that out.
So I'm sure
that when it's up, I'll be checking it.
BOP is punching above its weight, right?
Wonderfully so, and obviously we were as a nation thrilled to see Hayden Wild pick up our first medal when he got the bronze in the triathlon. And the fact of the matter is, Hayden Wild swims at the pool and works around at the pool where my youngest boys, both my boys, go swimming. So I mean, it's a real kind of the community's really thrilled for him and buzzing for him. It's a wicked little kind of feeling. The reaction of the Whakatane has been choice as well. It's a really cool vibe to have that kind of that local hero. It made me kind of think about where the other medals are coming from and the success that can come. Now, this is purely from an Olympics situation. This is how I'm talking about Bay of Plenty punching above its weight. Wild's got us across the line. We've got both the men's and women's sevens teams are based down here at Mount Maunganui, so they're considered locals. We know they've had a silver so far. We're hopeful of another medal coming. Arguably, our leading Olympian and multiple medalist contender, Lisa Carrington, is from down this way, of course, so Whakatane proud. Peter Burling, Tauranga boy. Dame Val, she's a Rotorua girl. So when you take that into account, there's some good options for medals coming out of here. So if we love to talk about per capita, don't we, with medals. I think per capita within New Zealand, I think the Bay of Plenty is going to more than hold its own. And overall, in the grand scheme of things, we mentioned Peter Burling before. You know, he, Tauranga boy, who held up the America's Cup for us. Kane Williamson, Tauranga boy, that lifted the Cricket Test Championship. And they are local heroes here. And another Bay of Plenty boy, Sam Kane, would be the All Black captain right now, if not for injury. So I reckon that's a pretty impressive little collection we've got going of success here. Because the money for sport isn't pumped in down here the way it is, say, in Cambridge, where there's incredible wealth that goes into the rowing and the velodrome there for very good reasons. And doesn't have the infrastructure of the big smoke cities. But, pretty proud to be down here and seeing the sporting success lay itself out.
Just can't argue with that. It's quite a list, isn't it? Must be the weather. It's the weather. Everyone's happy to be out training at ungodly hours.
That's it. Don't tell everybody, though. We're closing the gates. Can't have everybody come down.
Okay. Now, let's look at the rowing. Big day for Emma Trigg today. Obviously, it's been prominent the last couple of days, and we've got our first gold thanks to the rowers, the pair. Tell us a little bit more about how you're reading, how they're performing.
Now, first of all, we love in New Zealand, it's a staple, isn't it? Rowing success at the Olympics is something that we bank on, and we bank on it financially as well. The high performance sport in New Zealand pumps in the vicinity of $20 million over a 4-year period, building up from the last games to this game. So it is well funded. So we do expect results along the way, and they are delivering as well. So if we've got a gold and a silver so far from our female rowers, it's been wonderful to see. I personally thought that the women's pair, it was a wonderful opportunity to see them come through and grab that golden event where New Zealand hasn't actually won the Olympic title before, had been medalist before, and someone like Rebecca Scowen has been helping pave the way with a first the bronze and then 4 years later the silver, and then 4 years on, well, 5 years on, we're on to a gold in that boat as well. So it's been a long progression to get to champions there, but Grace Prendergast and Kerry Gallagher deserve all the praise for getting that gold medal, and they get another medal chance today actually rowing with the women's eight as well, so that's pretty exciting. But I think that the double sculls was pretty amazing with Brooke Donoghue and Hannah Osborne. Hannah Osborne really a bit of a late and she'd been looking for a real boat to jag her way into, but when the spot came up late, suddenly she found herself in that boat in a relatively short period of time to build up to it, and they get themselves a silver medal. We expect a lot from that boat because of the Eva Swindells way back when, but it's great to see these traditions going on. And you mentioned Emma Twigg. Of the three potential final medals, I should say, coming up within that 12:30 to 1:30 period today, Emma Twigg is the one we should all really kind of have our fingers crossed for the most. A men's eight would be wonderful because it's such a steep tradition, of course, but she has been just outside the medals at the last two Olympics. And it was always talk, will she be able to get her way back? She takes a lot of time off in between to get her head right. This is her chance to get on the podium, and any podium finish here would be an absolute sensation for Emma Twigg. She's won world championships, done so much. This is what's missing from a storied career, and she will go on and have a big impact on sport off the water as well. She's already proven herself a leader in that area. So very excited to see Emma Twigg get another crack at a podium.
Now, the swimming, a couple of new stars on the rise, that's for sure. Perhaps not necessarily this Games, but certainly the next.
Yeah, look, when you consider that we had a 17-year-old, a schoolgirl, she's the head girl down, I think it's Kavanagh College down in Dunedin, in Erica Fairweather, make the 400-metre final against some of the modern greats like Katie Ledecky. It's pretty amazing to get there. Now, she obviously didn't medal, but making her way to the final with some great times is pretty exciting. And what a way to start your career, to get yourself in that company and suddenly know, hey, I can do this. Now, these guys have got so much more experience than me. If I build my way up, that could be me. It's a very real proposition for her now, and so much of her best swimming will be in front of her. So yeah, really exciting. We've got, as we mentioned last week, with Lewis Clairbutt, he didn't quite manage to get himself in the medals, but still a good job to make the final and have a good swim in the 400 meter individual medley. 200 meters, not so much his specialty, but he's made his way again through to the final later on today. So that's pretty cool as well. So I'm really excited to see the swim team start to give themselves this opportunity. We talked about that they don't have any Olympic experience. They will walk away with plenty from this. I think so far they're achieving above what at least certainly mine and the general public expectations have been of swimming. And we'd love to see them, and this be the springboard for a long-running successful program for them.
Who else is standing out to you from across the squad?
I've been really, we're obviously proud of any New Zealander out there giving it their all, representing this country at the biggest sporting stage in the world. So this is not to, no one excluded from this list should be seen as anything negative. But I have been really impressed with watching the men's football team. I really have dug their kind of courage after that loss to Honduras to get that draw to be able to move on through as well. They've been entertaining to watch, and just quietly, it's not always been the way you can say about men's football teams representing this country. So it's been good to see them go. Really, the men's doubles pair as well, they are through to the bronze medal playoff. So unfortunately, didn't get themselves into that guaranteed medal shot. But if I said that we were going to be Olympic champions in the sport of tennis, Olympic medalists in the sport of tennis a few years ago, people would have scoffed at us. So it is a great result, and hopefully they can make those dreams come true. And just the way that Rebecca Petch in the BMX, I don't know if you've seen the crash, Catherine, but she landed pretty rough in her first run and could have stayed down, but got back up, got on her bike for the next run, managed to qualify through to today's semi. So it is a pretty cool to see her show that kind of resilience to get up and go again. It's been pretty cool to watch that Kiwi spirit on display.
The other ones who are playing above expectations, if anything, is the women's hockey, because they beat Argentina, I think, 3-0 in the year.
Yeah.
I watched the first half, and they sort of were, they certainly weren't dominating possession, and they didn't have too many opportunities. And I went for a walk and came back, and it was 3-0. So I maybe should do more of that. But they're looking good.
They are, and they've been. I missed that game because I do have Sky, and that smorgasbord that you're talking about is that I'm finding myself. You go down wormholes and find and following sports and getting invested in things when you go, oh, I just missed the New Zealand result. It's a shame. So it is tough to keep an eye on everything, but that is definitely first world problems. So I can't complain too much. It's great to see. I reckon if they can give themselves a place in the semis, I rate their chances.
Now, the controversy around Simone Biles, your take on it?
So we've been down this road before with Naomi Osaka, haven't we, with in Grand Slam and feeling the pressure. She pulled out before the event started, pulling out, as Simone Biles did, and within the first after the first run, first apparatus, within the team event for the Americans, put their team under pressure. You've got a four-strong team, and you kind of nominate who you want to go up within each, three of them do with each discipline. Now, she removed herself from that after feeling the pressure and putting her own mental health first. So it could potentially have been the difference between a gold medal and the silver they ended up winning. But she's earning universal praise for putting herself first. And it's quite funny because in years gone by, that's what her actions be called as weak and selfish and letting the team down. Here in 2021, she's a hero for putting herself first and bringing these mental health issues to the fore. So there's some that still think that when you're under that level of pressure, part of the sport is pushing yourself through. But only one person can gauge whether they're in a healthy situation, and what's about to come will be good for them or not, and that's the athlete themselves. She won 5 medals at the last Games and has now found herself sidelined, but it's become the story without winning medals. Well, she won a silver, fair to say, with that team, but she's now the story to the point where her overall title was won that she didn't defend. It was won by a teammate in Sonny Lee, but no one's really talking about her victory as much as the absence of Biles. Same way that when Osaka won her first US Open, all the focus was on Serena Williams because she lost it and screamed blue murder at the officials. So it's a bit of a shame in that regard, but it has been unquestionably the big talking point.
And some of the other stories that are worth mentioning?
Yeah, look, if you anyone who hasn't followed Tom Daley's career, and a great British diver, he's he's openly gay. He's had a lot of bullying issues through his career and a lot of pressure on him. And there was times it looked like that pressure might be too much for him. But what he's done, he's managed to pull himself together. His life is where he wants it to be. And he's now an Olympic champion with the pairs diving, which is always beautiful to watch as well. So a great story there. And a Ukrainian athlete by the name of Oksana Chuzovnikna made her 8th and final Olympic appearance. 8 Olympics. That goes back to Barcelona, Catherine, back in 1992.
Yeah.
At the age of 46 in gymnastics. Most of her competitors are younger than her son or weren't born when she started. Now, that's a sport that we definitely wouldn't consider age to be something that you would go into the 40s with. So I reckon that's a pretty cool story. But my favourite is the actually in the weightlifting, a Philippines weightlifter by the name of Hidalyn Diaz. She won the gold medal in the 55 kg category. So she's become a gold medalist, the first in her country to ever win a gold medal, almost 100 years of trying. She didn't just become a gold medalist, Catherine, she became a millionaire. With that success, the tycoons of the country and the Philippines officials have come forward and pledged a collective amount that racks up to about $1 million New Zealand, given her an upmarket apartment in the flashiest of suburbs, a holiday home by somewhere beautiful, a free van with petrol for as long as she wants, and free commercial flights for the rest of her life. Now, that is not bad, a haul to get out of just lifting those bars. But yeah, she is the one of 6 children from a motorcycle taxi driver, so coming from humble origins there, and she used to lug vegetables and water jugs around places to get feed the family. Lifted those muscles up, and what a success!
They're extraordinary, aren't they? They're tiny, frankly. Some of these female weightlifters, I think there was one who was 49 kilograms, but then lifts like what, 3 times the body weight? I mean, it's incredible.
It is amazing. I mean, these are real feats of athletic ability, of strength, and of dedication. You have to imagine what goes into getting yourself prepped for that level to be able to lift those things. I mean, I struggle to get the bar loaded onto anything at a gym, let alone lift anything.
So I'm not just lift the bar.
That's it. It doesn't look quite as good. I've got the curls down with that just fine, but no one seems impressed, and I don't think that it'll take me to the Olympics, despite Bill Murray's wonderful suggestion on social media. The American comedian, of course, Bill Murray, he mentioned that for reference, there should be an everyday person just going and competing against his athlete, just for reference, someone who's never tried the sport before and go, oh, look, he snapped his arm in half. That's why these guys do what they do best.
I'll tell you what, I have seriously just sort of bench pressed the bar before. That's why I'm laughing so hard. You've got to start somewhere. Okay, the Trans-Tasman bubble causing trouble for sports, Bledisloe Cup and other things here.
Yeah, look, we know the All Blacks just must get sick that every time they are about to go overseas or someone's about to come here, there's a major COVID flare-up. Now, you think about how lucky the cricketers had it. We basically got everybody in here. There was a few little disruptions with Australia. They had to move a couple of games, but they still played the games, essentially. But every time we look to host the rugby championship here, things get they blow up again. And the opportunity to play at home, looking at having six tests here, it'll now be whittled down to just a couple hosting the Wallabies, and they're going to play over in Australia again. Now, it didn't work out so well, Catherine, last year, unless you, of course, are a supporter of the Argentine rugby team, where you think it's a wonderful thing because they got that first win against the All Blacks. So All Blacks, you know, obviously know it's out of their control, but a little bit miffed. There's not, as Ian Foster calls it, more creative solutions to getting sports teams in this country, but it's just the reality that they have to deal with, and it looks like more games over there. How long are they going to be there for? How long are they to sit around between games? So definitely not ideal for the All Blacks. Looking to get a little bit of momentum, and as we mentioned, Ian Foster's contract does give him a bit of a review process coming up in this season, so that won't be helpful for him.
Just and the Warriors catch a break, can he?
He can't. No, and the Warriors have lost Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. He's done. One of the great Warriors careers. I think he'll go down as one of, if not the leading effort maker for New Zealand Warriors. He won the Dally M from this country, which is the biggest individual prize you can win in the NRL. So that's quite the achievement, given that this team has not been up and amongst the title contenders. He has been sacrificed so much to be away from his family for so long, more than every other player has done over the past two seasons. And he's decided that's it. He's gone home with the season essentially done and dusted. He moves to rugby next year. Well, this year, playing for Auckland and provincial rugby before moving on to the Blues next year. So he wants to move on to the next stage. You can't hold it against him, but the Warriors, with him and Leeson Armel, the same thing, a guy off contract coming home because he needed to be with his family and couldn't afford the financial insecurity that could be of not earning anything if they're stuck over that side of the Tasman. They've left the Warriors with an inability to field a full 21 squad that gets whittled down to 17 on match day, but that's how thin things are for the Warriors right now.
Okay.
Very difficult times.
Thanks so much, Sam Ackerman. And that next big final, Emma Twigg's final, I think, is at about 12:30 today. Hoping to medal for the first time, and then much more to run throughout the day as well for the New Zealand athletes at the Olympics.